This is Marco Panzik, and you're listening to the Studio Success Formula Podcast.
Well, welcome to the Studio Success Formula Podcast, the business school for dance studio owners. And now for your host, Clint Salter.
Hi, dance studio owners. It's Clint Salter here from Studio Success Formula, and thank you for joining us. Today's guest is one of Australia's most in-demand choreographers. He's been on So You Think You Can Dance, has worked with international artists including Robin Thicke, Ricky Martin, and Kylie Minogue, and has choreographed for artists including Ricky Lee and Jessica Mauboy. He's also the performance producer for the smash television show The Voice, artistic director of the Australian Dance Festival, plus the founder of the Dream Dance Company. He is passionate about the development of our young dancers and performers, hence why I wanted to get him on the show today. Please welcome our guest, Marco Panzik. Hello, Marco.
Hello, Clint.
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, it's been quite a long time since our days dancing in Ramon Duringo's class at Sydney Dance Company.
Oh my gosh.
Wasn't that a long time ago? I'd love to for you to just talk to our audience and tell us a little bit about you, where you grew up, when you started dancing. What's the journey been like for you getting into this crazy dance world?
Wow, the journey's been long, and it sort of started when I was 4 years old, and, you know, like every kid back in the, you know, 80s was dancing along to Michael Jackson. So I was in front of the TV dancing, and my mum was like, I think we need to get him into dancing, because no one danced in my family. So she took me to a place called the Johnny Young Talent School in Perth.
Yes.
And from there I fell in love with jazz singing, you know, musical theatre, and just did everything. Like, I didn't really think about I was lucky because I was brought up just loving dance. It wasn't about the technique or anything. It wasn't until I was 12 or 13 that I was like, oh my God, I actually need to point my feet, because the whole time I was just dancing along to the music and loving it and everything. And then I understood, oh, I need to work on a few things. And then that's when I got more and more serious about it and went to lots of different studios around Perth and tried to take as much inspiration from so many different schools. And then at 17, lucky enough, I was teaching at a dance studio, Let's Dance Studio, and there was an owner there, Lisa Webb, and then I was speaking to her and I was like, hey, maybe we should go into business together and I'll run the dance studio with you, because she was the RAD ballet side and I was this hip-hop jazz, you know, teacher. So I was like, let's, you know, join together and, you know, be a force to reckon with. And we started with 100 kids and then we grew to over 300 in the school. So it was this crazy, I call it my sort of university, because I sort of learned so much about dance running a dance studio. It's amazing how much that can teach you as a performer, as a business person, as everything, because you really get thrown into the, you have to negotiate, you have to talk to parents, you have to put schedules together, you're in control of everything. So I did that for 3 years and I sort of got to the point of going, you know, I really want to perform still, because I was young at the time. So it wasn't until I was 21 that I decided maybe I should move to Sydney. And then I sold my part of the business and it was hard leaving, because I really enjoyed and had a love of teaching, which I think now I'm so blessed looking back at that time, that before anything or before any of my success, my first passion was teaching and choreographing, and that's always been the love of mine. So I look back at that university studio owning time and I'm really thankful for it. And then I moved to Sydney and, like you said, I went into Sydney Dance Company and met you, and we were doing Ramon Duringo's class, and I sort of threw myself into every single class and I didn't go to full time. I was always a believer that, you know, I'm just going to throw myself out there and find my own way and find who I am and, you know, really discover it myself. And then Juliet Verne, lucky enough, Urban Dance Center offered me to teach there, you know, two classes a week or something. And I was so thankful. And I was teaching in Sydney and then people started coming to my class. And then I remember Ramon ringing me and saying, can you cover a class at Sydney Dance? And, you know, that's a dream when you get to, you know, teach at Sydney Dance Company in these places. So then it all just grew from there and I started getting this love of teaching in Sydney, and I taught then at Brent Street and I started getting my feet as a teacher. And then there was industry night and I would put on little performances at industry night, and then that's where I met a lot of other choreographers that then gave me advice on what I needed to do. And then I started, you know, finding my feet, and I worked with a few smaller artists, as in like Jade McRae, that then led me to dancing for Jess Malboy and little bits and pieces behind the scenes. And then So You Think You Can Dance came along, and then it was the first season. So I was like, yeah, I should, you know, get involved in this. So I took it and I went for it, and I loved the whole process of it. It really punched me in the face, in a sense, because it really made me go, holy hell, like, you know, you can't just be a great dancer. You have to know, well, who are you as a personality? How, you know, you have to face so many of your insecurities when you work on TV, because, you know, as a dancer, we're already always behind the scenes. So then to be thrown in front of a camera, I was like, oh my God, I'm not cut out for this. So my journey was short, and I think it was the best thing that happened to me, because I left the show learning so much about myself, but also having this fire that really ignited once I left. You know, I think people can look at failure or look at things ending in a way, either in a positive or negative. And I think that's why I've sort of lasted in this industry, because I actually like the failure part. I like being kicked in the guts and being told no, because it really makes me fight for the next thing and gives me, you know, and that's what I feel like So You Think did for me. It was like, gave me this fire to be like, right, I've got to do something with my life. I've got to be bigger than whatever I've dreamed of, and I'm going to go after it. And then lucky enough, I just stuck to it, and I had this passion, and then I was just putting videos up on YouTube, and I was throwing myself out there, and I really became a self-promoter, you know. I really do believe in what you believe, you can make other people believe. So I really just threw out there, you know, in confidence and in a good way, not an egotistical way, but I really wanted to get my work out there. And then the phone started ringing, and I had, you know, Ricky Lee rang me and said, I saw your videos on YouTube. I'd love to do dance class with you. So then from that, it just was this whirlwind of working with artists. So it's a crazy ride.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I love what you said about failure, because I, you know, we are so similar. I didn't realize how similar our journeys, our kind of early journeys were, in terms of having a dance studio in a partnership and then selling our half to someone. I was like, wow, is this my story or is this your story? But I love what you say about failure. And I think there's so much wisdom in that, is because I'm sure there's lots of people that were following a similar journey to you, maybe who were in those same classes at Sydney Dance, or, you know, those open classes that you went to, that then tried to break out and start choreographing, but got a no, and they saw that as the end of the road, you know. So they went to get maybe a normal job, or, you know, they might have tried one more time and got another no and they stopped. Where, you know, your journey sounds like one so far of really sheer persistence and passion.
Oh, and that's, to be honest, that is success in itself in whatever you do. Like, I feel like the people I look around and see that are doing things and making a difference and making a change are people that aren't stopping and not stopping creating. Like, you have to keep moving along, because you will be told no a million times in this industry, especially the entertainment industry. So, you know, your passion and your drive has to lead you through all of that, because I've seen so many talented people that, you know, and I also don't believe in goals. Like, I feel like you should have goals and that, but sometimes when you reach a goal so early, it's like, oh, it sort of puts a stop in your way. So it's kind of like you have to always think of everything that you do has to be the next step to something else, because I look at it as people come to me and go, oh my God, you've made it. You're so successful. And to be clearly honest, I'm not even halfway there of what I actually want to do. Like, every step that I take, and even every job, and I'm so thankful for every opportunity, but it's a step ladder to the next achievement. So you've got to keep building your ladder. You can't stunt your growth and just, you know, stop yourself. You have to constantly grow.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Always taking the next step, always going to that next level. You know, because if we're not learning and growing, we're basically dead, I think.
Exactly.
Now, you kind of already talked about some lessons, and I think the persistence piece and how you kind of relate to failure is a big one. But, you know, I know you talk a lot about the great teachers you've had over the years as you've been growing up as a dance student. I mean, what are some of the life lessons that you've been taught in the dance classroom that you've brought into your adult career?
Wow. I think everything that I actually represent now is because of especially three of my teachers growing up. One was Alison Cottrell and one was Bernie Bernard, and these are all from Perth, and another teacher, Kerry DeCourcy. These were three women that, you know, and this is what I'm so proud of. Every day I'm so thankful for those three people, because without them I wouldn't be the choreographer or person I am today, because Alison taught me the discipline of dance, the respect, the push and drive that you need. And she always was on my back to keep me going and kept me at this rate. And Bernie really taught me this love and passion. You know, every time I entered a room, it wasn't in her class, it wasn't forced down your throat or you're told what to do or that. The music would, you know, encourage you just to love it. So I was just so thankful because she taught me how to love dance, not just how to dance. And then Kerry, my other teacher, was the first one that actually I'd do, you know, she was my tap teacher and jazz teacher and everything, and we would do solos together. And it was one day that I came in and I was like, I really want to do this song. And it was so interesting to me because as a teacher, she sat there and went, great, go ahead, start choreographing it. I'm going to sit here and watch you choreograph. And as a teacher, I was like, hold on a second, what do you... And it taught me the most amazing thing because it made me start choreographing, and she was giving me pointers and she was being like, wow, well done, like that's great, this is good, do this. And she taught me as a choreographer how to construct a routine. So I really feel like, you know, those three really instilled in me what I seek to give now is that, you know, I want to provide opportunity. I want to make people love dance, not just know how to dance and think of dance as a textbook, because at the end of the day, every dance teacher, your job is to make those dancers fall in love with it. Because if you don't have the love and passion, that's what's going to sustain you for a long time. You know, steps and the technique and the drilling and the doing all of this stuff, that's just, you know, you can learn that when you're in rehearsals. You can learn that when you get a job. You can learn that as you go on and mature. But especially for the young kids out there and that, it's really important that they love it and you create an environment that just, you know, it's the love of music, because once you, as a child, feel that music and you dance and you have all that, nothing can stop you. And then once there's that will and power, you will do everything you can to be better.
That last point you kind of mentioned on from the last teacher, you know, put on the music and literally said, you know, off you go, you know, choreograph the routine. So funny you mentioned that, because we did Dance Studio Makeover Live and Kelly Abbey came in and spoke to the studio owners on Sunday, and someone asked her a question around how do you, you know, nurture and support those students who might not be, you know, going on to have a career in dance, but they want to explore choreography. And she said that exact same thing.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And that one of her teachers did that to her. And that's kind of how she started really exploring this world of choreography.
Completely. And, you know, a teacher guiding and being there and supporting that is such a beautiful thing as well, because you're handing over this gift of choreography. You know, people don't know they can choreograph until they can do it. And it's so amazing when a teacher can actually support and be there through that process.
Yeah, completely. I think it's great. Now, I want to talk about dance studio owners and teachers, because you run workshops and teach dance to students throughout the globe. What are some of the mistakes that you've seen dance teachers, dance studio owners make in their business?
Okay. There's a few, but it's not mistakes. I think it's just, I feel like a big mistake, like actually nationally and probably internationally now, is that we're all striving for perfection. And I think that is kind of a stunt in growth, in the sense of like finding individualism and finding kids, you know, because that's the whole beauty of dance and entertainment, is that you're only one of a kind. So I feel like at the moment there's this whole craze of being perfect and being having the best, you know, leg mount, having the best 17 turns, having the best, like this, there's this strive for perfection where I feel like greatness comes from imperfection, and everyone that's come before us are people with imperfections. You know, you look at Bob Fosse, you look at, you know, Michael Jackson's, you look at all the greats. They weren't perfect. They had their own thing. You know, they made what they had and turned it into greatness. So I really feel like teachers need to start, you know, teaching choreography, teaching steps in their class, finding the passion, getting the love, hitting the beats, teaching musicality, taking it back to the rawness of dance and really teaching, you know, even going back and teaching a bit more, you know, of the old school jazz, you know, teaching the history, you know, because I feel like a lot of kids are missing what has come before, and we're faced with this whole generation coming through that's all just about now and perfection, and we've got to be a perfect dancer, where it's actually, you don't need to be a perfect dancer to be successful, because what makes you different is your personality and you as a performer. So I really feel like teachers need to be encouraging kids to be individuals and find their own strengths and really push the performer out of them, not just the dancer out of them.
Sure. And what's some ways that they can encourage and I guess nurture that in the classroom? Because we know for a competition school, everyone's arms got to be there, everyone's heads got to be there, you know, everyone's legs got to be at a certain height. I mean, what are some things that they can do in the classroom to, I guess, bring out, you know, the individualism of a dancer?
I feel like even if there was, you know, when you have competitions, keeping the competition choreography and an actual choreography class separate. So keep, you know, when you're drilling and you're doing all of that thing, keep it in there, but there should be another class where every week's different. Every week is an exploration of dance in a sense that it's strictly there for the kids to have fun and encourage that, you know, and even limiting how much, you know, it becomes a road of, you know, in that sort of a Stedford school and the school that you have to come to a point. And that's even when I was running the dance studio in Perth, you have to make a sole decision to go, do we want to make working dancers here and professional dancers, or do we want to keep winning? And there's a difference in that, because, you know, making successful great dancers takes a bit of a different training to just winning a Stedford. So I feel like you have to balance it out really cleverly in your school, that you don't just become one, you know, because I still think you can learn so much from the competitions and everything, but you have to have a healthy balance. It needs to be a really healthy balance in your school, that your still main goal is to create working dancers and not just winning at competitions.
I 100% agree with you. I think it's great advice. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of studio owners listening that will be like nodding their heads going, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the classes that you run, because I know they're high energy. I've seen you take classes at Sydney Dance Company, at the Australian Dance Festival. I mean, how do you plan a class to ensure that you continually engage the students and really have them, you know, leaving that hour class or that 90-minute class feeling inspired?
I think the first step for any teacher and a thing is that you have to love what you're about to teach, because I, for years, always thought I need to plan what I'm doing. I need to find a song. And then you'd find a song and you start choreographing to it. And then you begin to like, why did I choose this song? I hate this song. And then I don't know, that it doesn't push through in that class. So I always find a song that I'm madly in love with at the time. And I'm like, oh my God, everything that I'm feeling and everything that I, you know, want to let out. And I plan it in my head. I actually never pre-choreograph before a class. I know it's crazy, but I always have an idea in my head, and when I listen to the music, I see the routine in my head. It's crazy. And then I will go into the room, because the room, I feel like you don't know what you're walking into some days and what energies and what people, who I'm about to teach. And, you know, 9 out of 10 times I'm walking into a cold studio not knowing the kids, so I have to feed off the energy that is in the room. So I sort of, I have to love the song and, you know, be ready to give that love and really pump the, you know, everything out there. And also I find, like, you know, that you have to I love talking when I teach, you know, as you can tell, I talk a lot, but I love that, you know, you have to connect with the kids in your classroom, you know, throwing steps and just throwing 5, 6, 7, 8 is, you know, it sort of doesn't inspire in a sense. I'm all about my favorite teachers, you know, we've just talked about Kelly Abbey, is that what I loved when I first came to Sydney and I took one of her classes is that every single step she spoke about and taught, I actually understood because she would put it into a, you know, she would word it and she would give a feeling and emotion behind it. And I was like, wow, this is so interesting to me because I'm not only just doing the steps, but she's actually explained to me why I'm doing the steps. So I really feel like it's important that there's a balance of, you know, educating in the dance steps, but then also having a connection with the kids, talk to them, turn around. Like, I love having a joke. I love seeing people, you know, smiling and laughing in class and breaking them into groups, make them cheer for each other, create your vibe in your class that you want them to be having fun. I want them to be clapping. I want them to actually go to a place they never, because at the end of the day, all us dancers and entertainers want is a clap. We want appreciation. We want people to say well done, and that's what you need to create in your class. You need to create a playground for these kids and dancers that they can be, you know, clapped and appreciated and told, wow, you're doing great, because only by that will they grow to the next level. So I really encourage, you know, just find music that inspires you, and then that will feed into the kids, and then also allow them to have an energy. Let them bring their own energy into the room. If it means dimming the lights down and making them scream and, you know, splitting them into four groups and make people sit down the front, pick out three people who have done great. Let everyone know that, you know, you're appreciating what they're doing. Let every, you know, it's a whole communication thing. So I really feel like you've got to build people up and let them feel that energy from each other, because that's ultimately how you become a great performer.
Yeah, and it's interesting talking about building people up, because, you know, so often in a dance class, even especially if it's a ballet or, you know, it's a class where there's a lot of technique being taught, occasionally there isn't, more than often, there's not that, you know, there's not that energy, that supportive environment. You know, it feels like, you know, and I had some teachers where I felt like I'm just hearing like no every 2 seconds. And I work with a lot of studio owners who say, I've got to do something about our ballet teacher, or I've got to do something about that teacher, because the kids walk out and they're not pumped up and they're not excited. They're slightly deflated.
Yes. Yeah. And the hard, do you know what the hard thing is as well, is that it's, you know, dancers have changed these days as well. So I feel like us as teachers and choreographers have to change with the times, because it's kind of, you know, ballet, you know, a lot of ballet masters and that would have had to teach, you know, 50, 40 years ago, the kids were, you know, kids were so much different then. You know, you look at everyone's rights now and what they, you know, everyone is their own online celebrity, and think, you know, it's such a different, it's such a different world now, the work ethic in a dancer. So you have to find ways to bring the best out of people without being too negative. I still think that there needs to be discipline, and you need to be told, you know, I love correcting people and telling them, but I feel like you can do it in a way that, you know, I feel like when I correct people, they get excited because I've noticed to correct them. So I feel like there's a way that you can correct someone and actually make them feel special for actually correcting them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's a really, you know, ballet's a hard one, because you need that discipline and you need to be told no, but it's kind of, you know, you've got to, and that's what I tell kids these days, is that they've got to get into ballet and they've got to, you know, learn that discipline, but it's just finding that way to encourage them into it, you know, and making them see how that is benefiting everything else. And I think that comes from educating them throughout every style to, you know, remind them that ballet is your ABCs, and, you know, without your ABCs, you can't speak. So you need to know your formula of what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think, like you said before, you know, communication is key. You know, the way that you deliver that correction is crucial.
Oh, completely, completely. And one of my favorite things to do, I do, you know, corner work a lot when I teach it full time, because I still believe that so much to be taught in corner work, because, you know, strength, everything. So, and I put on the Young Divas is blasting when I'm doing, you know,
corner work. I'm sure it is.
All like the funnest vibe. But at the end of it all, I go, great, one at a time, come down the room. You're going to dance for your life for me. And you have to do whatever you want from that end to that end and just dance. And it is the most amazing thing because, you know, this is, you know, it makes them really stop and think about what they're going to do and encourages them to show off. Because I feel like in Australia we're told you can't show off. You need to be, you know, in line with everyone. Don't do this. Stay here. Don't do that. And, you know, this is the difference between Australia and America in a sense, is because the Americans, you know, it's like, get out there, show them what you can got, get out there, don't hold back, you know, have confidence. Where here, we're told to shush, be quiet, listen, do as you're told. Where it's kind of, we have to encourage a little bit of, you know, polite showing off, letting our kids, you know, actually enjoy, you know, showing what they've got and not feel like they have to apologize for stepping out and showing off, because it's actually part of the entertainment world. You have to have confidence. You have to step out there and show off. So,
I mean, it's really the part of the world now, you know, especially because of social media and the internet. I mean, no matter what you're doing, you've got to be able to put yourself out there.
Completely. Totally.
I think it's a lesson that dance teaches people, no matter if you go on to be a dancer or if you go on to work in an office. I think it's a great skill and quality to have.
It's that, it's like, you know, what we do on a daily basis is we're selling a product, you know, at the end of the day. We're selling people to want to take on our information. And if you don't believe it and you're not going to step out there and say, you know, I don't have to walk out of a meeting room believing it, but, you know, if I'm in a meeting room and I'm like, I'm the best dancer, I'm the best choreographer, you have to sell yourself. You have to throw yourself out there. And you almost have to become this double-sided person, because half the time, you know, I'll be working with an artist or something and then I'm, you know, going, oh, da-da-da, and I'm being all, you know, got that hat on and I'm being all director and blah, 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 and then I'll walk out and I'm the little boy from Perth again going, oh, my God, I can't believe I just told Kylie Minogue to move over there and did it. Like, such a funny balance, because you have to, you know, constantly put on this little hat of, you have to believe in what you're doing and you have to have this, you know, personality that puts you out there, but then you also need to know how to, you know, come back to reality with it.
Yeah, 100%. Love it. Now, what do you think as a whole the dance industry needs to work on to take it to a new level? One part of the question. The second part is, where do you think dance is headed?
I think the dance industry in general in Australia comes down to, at the moment, education. We need to start educating rather than just teaching steps. I feel like that to make this, you know, industry and business better for us in Australia, we need more business-minded choreographers and teachers that are going to pave the way and make a difference. Because, you know, I see a handful of people like yourself and everyone out there pushing dance and striving for, you know, and I feel like if we educate and we have the power to get into these full-time courses and to get into these, you know, seniors and the older people coming up and teach them the way to make business, teach them the way to make things happen, teach them, you know, about promoting themselves, how to promote yourself well, teaching them how to negotiate, what's the steps, you know, because without entrepreneurs and without people that are going to go out there and make a change, I'm scared that all of us who put all this time and effort into everything, once, you know, we no longer are around, it's like, who's going to carry the torch? So we really need to start, you know, educating our younger generation to take the batons off, you know, all of us people that are working so hard to fight and make dance valuable here and make dancers get paid and make sure they're well protected and make sure, you know, so I really, 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 you know, enforce that full-time schools need theory and need education and need to get the right people in there to be teaching them the business side of dance and not just steps. There's this whole epidemic of just teaching steps and steps and steps and steps. And, you know, at the end of the day, steps are 10% of a job. You know, the other 90% is the business side. So
that's right. Building the relationships, marketing themselves. I mean, it's all of those things that they really need to be working on.
Like every single job I do is like literally the choreography and the steps is the last thing to be done. It's like 5% at the end. Like once the contracts, once the negotiating, once the dancers are booked, once you've worked with the artist, once you know, the steps is like the last thing you worry about. And I feel like we as a community need to, you know, really make sure that we are researching and finding out the right information and making our kids be clever and, you know, go online and research and find out what's come before you, find, you know. And that was one thing I did when I first moved to Sydney. I was like, right, who are the people, you know? And I was like, Cameron Mitchell, Kelly Abbey, Jason Coleman, Jason Gilkerson, like, and I would know all these people, you know, David Atkins and all these people that came before me, and I studied them and I researched them, and I, you know, I didn't just, you know, go, oh, I just want to do this and do that, because you have to respect where you come from. You have to know what's come before you, and you need to build from that, because everyone before you has added, you know, what our, you know, what the generation did before me has made us do what we're doing now. So we just really need to get education and business savvy people coming out of full time.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm flying the same flag. I think that a lot of people as well will be, again, nodding their head and agreeing with you 100%. Now, let's talk. Oh, and where do you think dance is headed?
I think dance, look, I think the talent in Australia is getting more amazing every day. Like everywhere I look, there's so much great talent. So I'm hoping dance is heading into more and more opportunities, you know, and that they're, you know, like I said, more entrepreneurs come through and create things and not, don't wait around for it to happen, actually make it happen. But I think dance is definitely starting to become, you know, the forefront again. Like it's definitely talked about everywhere, you know, and there's a lot of it on TV. I wish there was a lot more on TV that was more of the positive light, but that's, you know, so I'm hoping that dance, you know, I hope we just continue to keep following America in the sense of the commercial world of it, you know, that we hopefully get more recording artists and more stars coming through that we can dance for and push. So it's a constant, you know, I feel like the industry is decided on what people are going to do to make the industry happen. So it's a very interesting and hard question.
Yeah, I love though what you said about don't expect it just to kind of basically turn up on the doorstep, like go out there and create work. You know, I mentioned that you're, you know, you've just started a new company. You've got the first show coming up in May, the Dream Dance Company. I mean, that's a perfect example of creating something.
Oh, and, you know, with this company, it's sort of, I just kept seeing these amazing, talented, you know, people, and I'm like, why aren't they dancing? And it's not like, don't get me wrong, like backup dancing is great, but you're still backup dancing. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like as a dancer and as for myself and, you know, what my legacy is, I want people to remember me for what I made people feel or when I taught or my name as me as a dancer. And that's what I, you know, really wanted to create with The Dream, is that there's 19 dancers that, you know, the younger generation can look up to, and not because they dance behind an artist or they're on a TV show or anything, just purely because of their name and them up there dancing. And we need to get more dance live, you know, back in the theatre, because a lot, and changing it, you know, because there's brilliant contemporary companies in Australia. I just wanted to create something that, you know, could and hopefully get more of the younger generation intrigued into, because it will have hip hop and contemporary and jazz and a whole fuse of things. And because there's nothing like seeing dance live and back to its raw form. And, you know, we are on our phones and we're on our TV watching it a bit too much at the moment, which at the end of the day comes back to, you know, how I'm talking about people chasing their dreams and that you have to, because everyone's on their phone and watching everything, we're losing the emotional connection. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, so definitely.
I feel like getting back to the theatre and experiencing things live will help you as a dancer, because you actually understand the, you know, your job as a dancer is to make that audience feel something. So that's what I wanted to create.
Yeah, great. And I mean, you know, this, you know, especially with Australia and, you know, definitely in parts of, you know, in parts of the US and the UK as well. I mean, a challenge is actually getting people out of their lounge rooms and off their tablets and computers to go and see a live show. I mean, how are you kind of tackling that around building this company and you know, filling the seats essentially?
Yeah, well, the greatest thing is that there is a really beautiful support system in Australia with dance studio owners, which I think you know as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like there's a lot of studio owners that are on the same page as us and want, you know, and I really feel like, and that's what I sort of put out there when I did this show, I was like, you know, I'm doing it to educate the younger generation, you know, I want these dance studio owners to, you know, encourage their kids to come to experience something that will essentially help them back in their classroom, back at their school. So we've had some incredible support from amazing studios that are really seeing what we're trying to provide and push. And I feel like, and there's even incredible, you know, dance studios like what Project Dance is doing out there, and, you know, what these great studio owners are out there, you know, creating themselves is inspiring to me as well, because I think people forget their own power sometimes, that you can achieve anything you want to do when you've got a successful business and you've, you know, when you've got a studio with students, they're all looking up to you and they're all looking up to you to guide them. So I really just hope that, you know, people, you know, the dance studio teachers and all of that are educating their kids, and I'd love them to come along and, you know, feel what we're trying to make a slight change in this industry. So
yeah, I love it. It's great. And we'll put all the links in the show notes to this interview as well, so that people can get access to, you know, come along and get tickets and hopefully, you know, bring a group of people along, group of students and parents along.
Yes, we have group bookings, you know, with discounts, so they can hit me up. So find me.
Find Marco. He's on Facebook.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Easy to find, which is great. Yeah. Look, Marco, what do you think? I mean, you've had your own dance studio. You've been inside many, many dance studios. What do you think the difference is between a dance studio owner that's simply surviving and one that's really thriving, making a big impact on their community, but also running a profitable business? You know, what do you think the difference is there, or differences?
As seeing, being in a studio perspective as well, I really feel like the main key is, the question you have to ask yourself is, who is running your business? And at the end of the day, your answer should be you. And why are you running the business? Because what is your intention with everything? Because why I say, is it you? Because I feel like when I go to studios and they're a successful studio, you can clearly see who the director is, and you can clearly see who is making the decisions and, you know, has the power and authority. And I really feel like it's a hard one, because, you know, owning a dance studio can be so emotional, because everyone thinks that teaching dancing is just fun and why should we pay for it? But yes. But the whole thing is, every successful studio owner I've met has, I'm trying to say it in the polite way, but has just amazing aura. They have that leadership quality. They have that don't mess with me thing. They have a, you know, they act like a director. They act like a CEO. And you can't own a studio and apologize for owning a studio. And you can't allow your parents or your judgments on what you're doing just because of one of your great kids at the front. You don't want to lose them, so you're going to change your whole business structure just to keep them there. So what I'm saying is that you running the business, you have to run it for you and no one else, and not because of anyone else. So really, just, you have to act like a CEO. You really need to be the boss of your place and stand by your own decisions and really stick to what you believe in and follow your gut. And at the end of the day, it's such a funny thing, because kids are always going to leave and your best are always going to leave, and it's a continuous cycle that will always happen. But what won't leave is your legacy and what you lay out, you know. And at the end of the day, you want your kids to leave and always come back and remember you. So if you are strong enough in what you're giving, and you have a really, you've just got to stand strong. And anyone who does leave or anything, trust me, they'll always be back because you are in control of your business. And I get so inspired meeting so many studio owners that I'm like, I get inspired as a business person because I'm like, wow, they really run that. You know, I admire great business people that, you know, can run a business well and have that drive and that passion, but, you know, also have that integrity and that class about them. And I really feel like that's what studio owners need to remember, is that it all comes down to you need to act like a CEO.
Yeah, you know, and I love it, you know, and preaching to the choir. I mean, that's what we teach our members at our events, you know, every day, is that you are a business owner, and even you are no longer a dance teacher, because so many, as you would know, so many studio owners start as a dance teacher and they say, wow, this is fun. I love this. I'm going to open up my own. But we know that being a dance teacher and being an entrepreneur or a CEO of a business is very different.
And that's why because I follow everything you do online and everything, and I love what you're doing because it's everything that I believe in, and it's so amazing that studio owners, because at the end of the day, we are creative people. So you are going to have people that are creatively great but don't have the business skills. So it's really great you're providing something to educate and, you know, give these teachers who obviously are incredible teachers but may lack slightly in the business thing and believing in themselves, it's so great they have a point of contact to come to now to, you know, help them through that, because it honestly, that's what can change your business, is if you actually stop and go, I'm CEO and I'm going to start acting like it and I'm going to create my business into what I want, then it will all come together. And it's amazing what you're doing to help studios achieve that, because with stronger businesses out there in dance, and, you know, that's only going to bleed into every other, you know, form of dance, because we're getting, once again, educated people into the industry.
Yeah, thank you. Look, that's, you know, what I've gone out to achieve. And, you know, really lucky that we have attracted some of the most amazing studio owners, from people that have started up this year to people, we've got studio owners that have been going 40, nearly 50 years, you know, which is great, because these people are like, hey, I've recognized that there's a change now. You know, and I can't do what I used to do. It's not working anymore. So what do I need to do? So having that growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, well, this is how I do it. I think it's working. No one else can tell me what to do. You know, that's kind of what's going to be the difference in a couple of years' time when, you know, business changes again. I mean, it's always evolving. You know, and you would know that with the work that you do as well. Things are always changing, you know.
And you always as well have to always be one step ahead of the game and the competition.
Yes, you do.
What can I offer? What's next? And then you do it and then, oh, everyone's doing it now. Quick, I've got to be
what's
the next.
What's next? But I mean, always innovating,
completely.
You know.
So it's a crazy business we're in, but, you know, and that's why we all love it, because it's a fast lifestyle. It's a, you know, it's a really fast pace, constantly on your toes. But, you know, that's what us creative people love. And it's the, you know, what we can achieve in, you know, you look at what we can achieve as dancers and creators in like 6 months to a year to then 2 years to it's incredible seeing what, like how fast we can achieve and develop things. So it's so exciting.
Totally. I'm excited and inspired by the work that you're doing as well. Marco, if people want to get more information about you, what you're doing, the Australian Dance Festival, the company, getting you for a workshop, you know, all of the multiple things that you do, I mean, how can they find out about what's happening in the world of Marco?
Wow. Well, come visit me at www.marcopanzic.com. And if you want to email me, there's info@marcopanzic.com. And I'm also on Instagram. It's what I'm mostly addicted to. So you can follow my whole crazy life on there.
You can stalk Marco on Instagram.
At Marco Panzic. So, and Marco's with a K, everyone. And also, yeah, Facebook, anything. I'm really all over the shop with all, I'm there. I'm in your face. I'm on all the online things. So hit me up whichever way you can. And I'm always happy to help. And I love, you know, that's one thing I always say to my students as well, is that don't be afraid to ask questions. If you have questions or you have something to ask me, don't, you know, like what I could answer for you could take out, you know, 6 months of you trying to find it. So if you have anything to ask me or you want to ask me anything, I'm more than happy to help and answer any questions. So
thank you so much for being so giving in this interview, Marco. It's always great to chat with you, and I just really appreciate your time and again what you're doing for the dance industry. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. And honestly, thank you, Clint. I love what you're doing and following your journey, and I'm so thankful there's people like you out there leading this light into dance, which is amazing. So thank you so much.
Hey, look, we're all trying to achieve the same thing. Yes, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks again, Marco, and talk to you really soon.
Thanks, Clint.
Do you have a burning business question for Clint? Are you coming up against a challenge in your studio that you need help with? Go to studiohotseat.com today and record your question for Clint. If you're lucky, Clint will answer your question in an upcoming podcast episode. Get expert help today from someone who works with hundreds of dance studio owners every year. Again, head to studiohotseat.com to record your question for Clint today.